Judy Claire Boyd is a fourth grader at Mountain View Elementary and an active member of this church, and she is going to read our scripture for us today.
2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Judy. Appreciate you leading us in that. If you've been with us throughout January, you know our series is titled Four Life-Changing Decisions. We recognize that even small changes have significant impact. And some of the choices we make include start a new physical or spiritual discipline, stop a bad or sinful habit, stay when we feel like leaving or quitting, and go to wherever God leads next. Last week, I shared the 1 in 60 rule for air navigation. 1 degree of change in the compass over 60 miles becomes a 1 mile differential in wherever the destination is supposed to be. It recognizes that direction and distance multiply changes and choice. And today we're talking about the choice to stay. We've heard our scripture lesson from 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8, as Paul wrote to the young minister Timothy about the importance of being disciplined and diligent for the Lord. The poet T.S. Eliot said that April is the cruelest month. With apologies to the Englishman, a British April does not compare to a Georgia January. The first month of the new year, it's dreadful, it's dreary, it's dull. Our spirits plunge along with the temperature, and it seems as if spring will never come again. And then you hear those four mystical, magical, miraculous words, pictures and catchers report. The Atlanta Braves start spring training on February the 13th in Northport, Florida. 3 weeks from Tuesday, the boys of summer are back. We're revived again. There's new grass on the field. One of my favorite baseball stories I told a couple of years ago, but it's worth repeating, and I figure some of you probably weren't here or weren't listening. Even the most ardent of baseball fans might not recognize the name of Wally Pipp. He played for the New York Yankees from 1915 to 1925. The first baseman was a very good fielder and a decent hitter. He hit over 300 several times during his career and helped the Yankees win multiple championships. Midway through his 11th season in 1925, he had a bad headache and was out of the lineup. Then the next day in practice, he got hit in the head with a baseball and it extended his absence. Pip's place was taken by an unknown rookie named Lou Gehrig. And Pip never started for the Yankees again. Gehrig became the iron horse of Major League Baseball. He played 2,130 consecutive games. His career batting average was .340. He hit 493 home runs and 23 grand slams. He was in 34 World Series games with an average batting average of .360. And the man played regardless of how he felt. He played in pain. He took the field with a broken thumb, a broken toe, back spasms, and chronic pain. He just showed up stoically and played until his final season when his strength and power began to wane and he finally took himself out of the lineup and the doctors diagnosed him with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. And today, ALS is better known as Lou Gehrig's disease. The Yankees held a grand celebration for his career on July the 4th, declared it Lou Gehrig Day, and in one of the most famous scenes of baseball, he stood before the packed stadium and said, "Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth." Gehrig reminds us that sometimes just showing up to play is important, even when we don't feel like it, especially when we don't feel like it. And I will warn you, that is not what our culture teaches us. Our culture teaches us that feelings are extremely important. And if you don't feel like doing something, you shouldn't do it. Only do something if you feel like it. And that is a pathway to disaster. When I first began the ministry, I wrestled with the temptation of procrastination. When you set your own schedule, it's easy to put off till tomorrow what you don't want to do today. And I learned the hard way. Waiting till I felt like doing a task was a sure way of not getting the task done. I had one of those moments when I began writing this sermon. It began on a Monday morning about 7 o'clock. And it was just one of those times when writer's block occurred. The words came like molasses in January. And I think I wrote the same 3 paragraphs over and over again. And if you're a writer, you understand why that blinking indicator on the computer screen is called a cursor. 40 years ago, I would have torn up the pages that I had scribbled my thoughts on, thrown them in the trash, and walked away. Today, I've learned to keep pushing forward, even if there is no discernible progress. And the result is the wonderful sermon you're getting to hear today. Yay! Today, we are talking about the life-changing decision to stay. Christian disciples stay even when we're tempted to leave or to quit. Oh, we're amazed by the sacrifices and achievements of athletes, and they're certainly inspiring to us. But Paul used the sports of his day to make a deeper point. He said physical training is of some value, but godliness has value in all things, holding promise for both the present life as well as the life to come. Then he went on and wrote to the church in Corinth and used the backdrop of the Olympic Games of their time. And he said, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Those who compete in the games go into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever." Judy did a wonderful job of reading scripture lesson today from 2 Timothy chapter 4. You may recall that Timothy was a younger minister who was Paul's protege. And he was serving the church in Ephesus. And Paul wrote at least 2 letters to him that we now know as 1 and 2 Timothy to encourage him in his ministry. At the time, Paul was imprisoned in Rome. And legend has it that he was later executed by the Roman Empire for proclaiming the gospel. So the preface to what we've heard today is Paul recognizing that his death is probably imminent. And then he says to Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not just to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing." Listen again to Paul's verbs that he used. He said, fought, finished, kept. Paul stayed when it would have been so tempting to quit or to leave. He knew the importance of just showing up and the heavenly award that awaited him. We typically use this passage in Christian funerals, and rightfully so. It recognizes those who have gone from the church militant to the church triumphant, who have lived faithful lives in this world and have now gone to the life to come. But it is equally applicable to those of us who remain in this world, because we are called to keep on fighting, to keep on running, to keep the faith. We all hit dry spells in life, where something we're engaged in or some relationship that we have, which was once so life-giving and joyful, suddenly feels irrelevant and empty. Let me give you this secret to success. Stay. Show up and play anyway. When we wander through the wilderness of the soul, there are times when prayer loses its meaning in our lives. We don't know the words to put together or even how to pray. And when we do pray, it feels like the words go to the ceiling and back down again. And we wonder if God is even listening. Pray anyway. There are times when Bible study becomes irrelevant to our lives. We read a passage, it doesn't make any sense to us. We don't see how God's word applies to our world. Read the Bible anyway. We may come to worship and we just feel disconnected with everybody else in the room. We don't care for the songs. The sermons are long and boring. The place is filled with hypocrites. Come to worship anyway. You may have been engaged in a mission or ministry that once claimed your passion, but now that age and stage has gone, and appropriately, you're ready to do something else. But what I see over and again in people who have started a ministry is they're flabbergasted that somebody else just doesn't naturally step up and take it over, laity or staff. If you want the ministry to continue, identify, recruit, train, and deploy that person so that they, in turn, can do ministry anyway. Marriages go through predictable patterns of highs and lows, of ups and downs, of joy and of sorrow. And you've heard me say before, I will tell couples in premarital counseling, there will come a day when you wake up and look at that person next to you and think, I'm not in love with them anymore. Treat them in love anyway. Parenthood, 24/7, 365 with no breaks, no vacation, no time off. And I warn all the younger couples here with young children, it doesn't stop when they turn 18 or 21. And sometimes it's overwhelming and you want to walk away. Be a parent anyway. Standing beside a friend in good times is easy. In bad times is difficult. And regardless of how deep a friendship it is, at some point you are going to hurt one another and you want to walk away from the relationship. Be a friend anyway. Those who wrestle with addictive behavior recognize it is a lifelong struggle and there's always the next decision to make. And there's a reason those in recovery pray, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You don't have to overcome the rest of your life. Just make the next decision anyway. And a strange thing happens to people who just show up and play, who just stay. Prayer becomes meaningful again. Bible study becomes relevant. Worship is spirit-filled. Ministry gains new life. Marriages act their way back into the feelings of love. Parenthood, we're reminded, we're making little people into people of God. That friendship is renewed, and an addict finds the strength to say no yet again. Just show up. Stay. United Methodist Church has something that's called the Board of Ordained Ministry, which helps vet candidates who are looking at coming into the ordained ministry. Catherine, Jeff, and I have all served on the board. And I've had this conversation with them before. I've seen dozens and dozens of candidates come through. And all of them will say, I'm not real good in this area. But every single one of them will say, but I'm an excellent preacher. Every one of them. And I've heard their tapes. And they're in error. And I understand, I was the exact same way. I had these visions when I went into the ministry that I would preach sermons. And every Sunday, people would flock and fill the congregation, and lives would be changed, and there would be filled altar rails. And every Sunday, major decisions for the Lord would be made. And at least some of those self-glorifying visions have not come true. Some of you had the opportunity to watch Miss Rosalind Carter's funeral service. Glenn Memorial over on the Emory campus did an amazing job of worship and honoring her life. And then the next day, they went back to Plains, Georgia, and they had the smaller private family service at Marathon Baptist Church, their home congregation. God help me, I got so tickled at that service because the preacher was at the pulpit giving it his all, and it was really good content. And the camera angle showed you the choir behind him. And there was this older gray-haired gentleman with glasses and mustache that kept falling asleep on international TV. I've been there, done that. And what I've come to realize over the years is sometimes it's the little decisions and choices and impact that have the most significance. Robert Frost wrote an essay about writing poetry, and in part, this is what he said. A successful poem ends in a clarification of life. Not necessarily a great clarification, such as sects and cults are founded on, hear this phrase, but a momentary stay against confusion. Just a momentary stay, a stop, an opportunity for somebody to perhaps make a little decision different that will change their life in an incremental way. But we know one degree in a compass bearing, direction and distance multiply change and choice. And it occurs in every aspect of our lives. Where are we creating a momentary stay against confusion? By staying, by showing up in the various responsibilities and duties of life and in the relationships with which God has graced us. God honors that discipline. And at times there are struggles, but the struggles lead us into a new age of joy and of celebration and fulfillment. But you play regardless of how you feel. Dr. Fred Craddock taught generations of pastors the art of preaching. And his sermons have been preached by numerous people over the years, and a number of his illustrations have been put in books. One of my favorites of Dr. Craddock has him saying, to give my life for Christ appears glorious. To pour out myself for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom, I'll do it. I'm ready. Lord, I'll go out in a blaze of glory. We think giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill and placing it on the altar. Now, as an aside, there's nothing wrong with that if you feel moved to do it later in the service. He said, we think it's like taking a $1,000 bill and placing it on the altar and saying, here's my life, Lord, I'm giving it all. Dr. Craddock says the reality for most of us is God sends us to the bank and has us change that $1,000 bill into quarters. And faithful Christian living is spending 25 cents here and 50 cents there. It means listening to the neighborhood kid when you would rather tell them to get lost. It means going to a committee meeting. It means helping a shaky old man in the nursing home with a drink of water. It says usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It'd be easy to go out in a flash of glory. it's harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. But that's how we do it. Just showing up to play. Stay. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are overwhelmed by responsibilities and duties, obligations and relationships, and sometimes it feels like everybody and everything wants to have a little piece of us. There are times we grow weary. We want to quit. We want to leave. We have this fantasy that a life without responsibility would be this amazing, amazing vacation from the worries of life. Yet it's the very things that tie us down that free us up. Grant us the grace to just show up day after day, to just stay, and to trust that you are leading for us forward into a future that will be renewed with fulfillment and joy and laughter and celebration. But in the meantime, help us to take the next step and the next and the next. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.